Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Rich Haley, Chief Financial Officer at the FBI. Also joining us from IBM is Angela Carrington. Rich, I'd like to transition now to the future. Would you give us a sense of some of the key issues that may impact the CFO and budget offices government-wide over, say, the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that I see, even for an intelligence organization like the FBI, is that there's more and more emphasis on transparency. And I think transparency, you know, and this is not only being good stewards and saying we're being good stewards, but it's showing how we're being good stewards of resources with the American public. And, you know, this is everything from publicizing acquisitions online to being more kind of visible in terms of how we're putting our resources to specific programs. And that is a challenge in an intel agency, because some of the stuff we do obviously is classified. But I think that transparency, and you know, I think it's the challenge is that many times the acquisitions, you know, for one project, maybe 5 or 6 acquisitions, and if you only look at one piece of that, you don't really get the sense of what the organization's doing. So, and I mean this in a positive way, it's that there's a storytelling that goes along with it, that, you know, it's not just a matter of putting this data out, but it's being able to put a message around it to say, you know, this is making you safer because we're doing X, Y, or Z, or here's the logic to some extent behind what our efforts are for. And I think that, you know, I think what I see is continual evolution to, on one side, being accountable for the resources, making sure that we're passing our financial statements, implementing new financial systems. And while all that's going on, is ensuring that we're actually integrating that data in terms of being more efficient with the resources, looking at our base resources. Always, it's the old Jack Welch of looking at your lower priorities and, you know, eliminating 10% or whatever of your lower priorities each year in terms of putting that towards your highest requirements. And I think those challenges within the CFO community are going to be there for all of us. The other thing I see, especially here in Washington, is we're all trying to recruit and hire the same type of people. So you have a recently publicized Department of Defense's effort to hire new contract officers or bring on contract officers. Likewise, some of the other large agencies bringing in significant numbers. Those are the same type of people that I'm trying to bring in. And, you know, how in this limited market do we do that? And I think for us, and it goes in terms of our continuation of government, what we call our coup planning, which is if an emergency occurs or if a crisis occurs, how do we ensure that we continue to operate? When you're an organization that has over 400 locations across the country, there's opportunity there that you don't necessarily need to be in D.C., which means a decentralized finance division for me, and how do you work in that type of environment? So we've already started several instances where we have finance division people that aren't located in our headquarters building. They're across the country. And I think being able to work in that decentralized type of environment is going to be beneficial, especially in terms of these key human resource areas that many agencies are all kind of focused on trying to bring on the same type of people. And then finally, I think the economic situation that we've gone through in the last few years is, for us, a trend in terms of what growth we have seen over the last 7 or 8 years is not necessarily going to continue at that same pace. So it's a more scrutiny in terms of our prioritization, in terms of the ability to mitigate risk, and how do we make sure that we're putting resources to the highest risk levels. And if we have projects or programs that aren't being as effective as they possibly could, that we're either addressing that or removing those resources to higher priorities. And I think CFOs are going to have to be more engaged in that. I know that I am, in terms of us going forward.
Now that the private sector has worked closely with federal government to assist in improving financial systems and processes by conducting financial statements, audits, and even in some cases performing financial operations, what do you think the private sector can do better to help improve the efficiency and effectiveness of government financial management?
Yeah, you know, we have a great relationship, and there is this, I think, initiative effort to move and look at insourcing in terms of what government inherent functions we do ourselves. But I think from our relationship with our private sector partners, we have a good relationship. Everything from our internal control processes, which are A123 processes, to some of the financial system implementations that we're doing, the partners that we're working with in terms of putting the mission requirements and providing a better financial service within the FBI are working out very well. If you look at the broader private sector, I think that, you know, in terms of some of the incorporation of Sarbanes-Oxley into our internal control process, I've attended a number of these seminars or sessions at some of the business schools where they're looking at how do corporations become more efficient and effective. And I see a lot of similarity. Our former CFO that actually hired me used to compare the FBI to General Electric or a Procter & Gamble. If you look at all the different business lines we have, there's a lot of common similarities. We have a special advisor program, which we hire, recruit from the top business schools across the country. I have several MBAs that work within the finance division directly report to me, whose sole mission is to look at business process reengineering and to look at the different things that we currently do and how can we do them better. And they're charged with try to break it and let's see if we can put it back together better than it was. So I think there's a lot of common issues and challenges that we face. So whether it's the contractors that we work with directly to help put out a better financial product, some of which require technical skills, auditing skills that we don't necessarily have in-house that complement our own inherent governmental functions, or if it's just trying to look at the ways in which the private sector are doing things and us trying to emulate or pull from their best practices. I think that that's not only important, but I think that we've done a lot to try to stay relevant in that area.
So you've talked about hiring folks and kind of a little bit about that process. Do you use any sort of flexible compensation strategies to really attract and retain quality employees who have those critical competencies that you need? Or what other strategies do you use for kind of attracting and retaining people?
So I mentioned our special advisor program, which is a corporate initiative where senior executives like myself will go around to the MBA programs to recruit the special advisors. We have within the finance division and our several of our partner divisions have done the same thing at the undergrad level. And what we're looking at is a balance. We have a number of very talented individuals within the finance division that have been within the finance division for, you know, anywhere from 5, 10, 15, 20, sometimes 30 years. And what we're looking at is what a lot of agencies have going, which is a number of people retiring from key positions over the next 5 years. So we've heavily recruited from a number of undergrad programs. This initiative now is taken on a corporate focus where our human resource division is now doing that for all the divisions in terms of focused hiring of undergrads. And we've been tremendously impressed with the talent and with the energy that these individuals bring in. So it's bringing in those recruits either right out of college or right out of a master's program and balancing that with trying to attract more senior or more experienced level of individuals as well that may have acquisition background or accounting background into the FBI. And we do use, for our undergrads, we use incentives to move them to either 2DC or in some cases student loan repayments, which we use quite a bit, taking advantage of rehired annuitant authorities and things like that to bring together, the best workforce that we possibly can.
Rich, you are a recent Presidential Distinguished Executive Rank Award winner. Given this recognition and your range of public sector experience, what advice would you give to that person who is considering a career in public service?
I can't emphasize enough how rewarding it is. I have a number of friends that have been in the federal government, have left, and it's not that they didn't find the work they were doing rewarding or that they weren't necessarily happy with their decisions, but a number of them have come back to the federal government. And especially in an organization like the FBI, which is very much mission-driven, which is for me, very easy to get up in the morning with a mission such as the FBI has, with the director and the leadership he provides, that you get something from federal service in terms of the cause and the service back to the country that I think is hard to find in other places. And I would highly encourage individuals to, you know, consider it. You know, with the Presidential Distinguished Rank Award, you know, I was honored to receive that. Quite frankly, there are a number of people within the organization that, you know, equally could have been recipients. And so, you know, it was an honor that the executive management and the organization, you know, in terms of nominating me for that. But, you know, I think that there's a tremendous, in all different segments, whether it's the financial aspects, whether it's our operational side, our information technology side, a number of opportunities. And I think having been in four or five different federal agencies, you know, I've seen across the board where it doesn't really matter which organization. There's a lot of really great efforts being done on areas that, quite frankly, in many cases can't be done by the private sector, or that the profit pieces aren't there. So the federal government has to do it. And to be a part of that and be a part of the solution to these complex challenges is, I think, is rewarding for any of us that that do this stuff. And I have all intentions of staying in the federal government for a number of years to come.
That's terrific advice. I want to thank you for your time. But more importantly, Angela and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being here. I appreciate your time.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Rich Haley, Assistant Director of the Finance Division and Chief Financial Officer at the FBI. My co-host has been Angela Carrington, partner in IBM's Federal Financial Management Practice. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.